Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, November 1st, 2013. It is All Saints Day, soon to come, 24 hours from now, All Souls Day. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a really nice weekend. Weather-wise, it should be perfect. We thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live 12:04 to 1 right here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we have podcasts, again, at my website, tucsoncitizen.com, tucsonsentinel.com with our podcasts, and also now links on the home pages of Inside Tucson Business and gvnews.com. That's the Green Valley News site, and also our friends over at Blog for Arizona, big supporters of the Buckmaster Show. Today's Friday Focus interview, Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias is with us in studio, joining Supervisor Elias, speaking of Inside Tucson Business. The relatively new editor, it's week five already.
End of week four, beginning of week five.
Mark Evans is with us, Inside Tucson Business. He has all sorts of great plans for that publication. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Did you have a nice Halloween?
I did. It was great to see little kids being adorable out and about, and it was a lot of fun. Did you?
I've never been a real big – well, as a kid, I loved Halloween, but I've never dressed up since then. I guess – I mean dressed up in a costume.
Right.
Well, anyway, we won't go there. Richard, good to see you. Richard Elias, Supervisor Elias. You know, people – we keep hearing Tucson is the, well, sixth poorest community – in the country. That's no longer true. Just to be accurate, we've moved away from getting out of the top 10. We're now number 8. But people blame you and other elected officials, not you specifically, but they blame the elected officials of the county and the city. When you hear that, what do you think to yourself?
Well, I think that we all need to be doing a better job to promote Tucson and to make ourselves find a pathway to some more success that'll bring people out of poverty. But that's a very difficult chore. I don't take it personally because I'm an elected official who's been in office 11 years and I own my record and I own the time that I've been in office, and I'm not ashamed of that. I think we've done a great job there at Pima County in that time. We've also been through the greatest financial collapse in the history of the United States in the last few years, even worse than the Great Depression of the 30s, perhaps, in some ways. But we need to keep working on things. We need to keep moving in the right direction. And I, for one, love this community, and I refuse to sit around and complain about it and only note the problems that we face. And this is the old Pueblo. We have been here for more than 4,000 years. And my suggestion to all those people who are naysayers is that we're going to be here a lot longer than that. And we will do better, and we must commit ourselves as a community to doing better rather than casting blame on people. I mean, accountability is certainly important. And like I said, I own my record, and I'm not ashamed of it at all. But we all need to focus on being positive and working towards the things that are going to make our community and, frankly, the borderlands and maybe even more importantly, the entire state of Arizona a better place to live.
Here's Mark Evans of Inside Tucson Business.
What did you think about the allegations that Supervisor Miller has made against Development Services about there being corruption there and the response that the county administrator took this week in his memorandum to that and telling the supervisor that she should be filing her complaints with the county attorney's office?
Well, you know, I think it's good for elected officials to have a healthy skepticism about what goes on in government. That's part of our job. But if you make allegations of a criminal nature, you better have something to back it up, or at least a trail of information for people to follow, because in my estimation, in my experience, the folks in development services are upright, fine, hardworking individuals that I'm proud of. And the allegations that I've heard, I have not heard anything to back them up. So I think that if you're going to be an elected official who makes those kind of accusations, you ought to really have the correct information backing you up and some kind of evidence, because otherwise we're just being destructive unnecessarily. And the other thing I would add is that if you have allegations of a serious nature like that, rather than bringing them up on radio shows or with innuendo involved, I think it's important to put an item on the agenda. All five of us, plus Mr. Huckleberry, have the right to put something on the agenda. I'd rather see these issues dealt with in a public forum, on record, where everybody can have a shot at understanding what the supervisor's saying, and staff would have a chance then to respond to those kind of allegations. That's the appropriate way to do work. I do a lot of public speaking and a lot of radio shows like this, but I'm always very careful to not make ugly allegations about my colleagues, even though at times I'm not always happy with them. You could be disgruntled. That's fine. But I think using a public forum where there's no need to back yourself up with the truth is not the way to go about making those kinds of allegations. I'd rather see them happen in the boardroom, on an agenda, in a public forum where everybody has access to it. And then you can move forward with them and make sure that you got things right, because you absolutely need to make sure things are right.
And do you think the administrator's response by memo was appropriate, or it should have been handled differently?
I think it was okay for him to put out that memo, because he's not a member of the Board of Supervisors. And as the manager, I expect him to defend his staff and defend their practices, especially if there's no evidence to back it up. But I think that the question started from a supervisor, and that supervisor should have put something on the agenda, and we should have discussed it right there in front of God and everybody.
All right, let's bring Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star into the conversation.
Following on Mark's question, there seems to be a kind of a general animus in the political atmosphere and just discontent in general with the idea that public officials and people who are public employees, county employees, city employees, federal employees, that among some folks, it's just negative, negative, negative. And more than that, it's they seem to be scapegoating just the idea of the public employee. I'm wondering what you think of that, if you see that happening, and what does that do to the day-to-day operations of an organization like the county?
Right. That's a good question, Sarah. It does demoralize our employees. And these are employees who have worked very hard for us during this difficult times. And really, this year was the first year they got any kind of raise in 7 years. And the other thing that's important to mention in all of that is that these are public servants. And public service is an honorable profession. I believe that. And in the 13 years that I've been working there at the county, because I was an employee for 2 years before I became a member of the Board of Supervisors, you know, I have not found that many employees who do not do their jobs. In fact, the vast majority of employees work extra hard, care about what they do. They have honor. They believe in government, and they believe in doing a good job in serving the public. I specifically remember a terrible tragic accident that took place back when I very first took office, right before Christmas Eve. And that family needed to get their loved ones out of forensic science and back to Mexico so they could be buried before the Christmas holidays. We had three employees who left their home, left their holiday celebration, came into work, completed those death certificates, worked together with the sheriff's office and the consul of Mexico to make sure that that family received those bodies and they were buried. That may seem like a long time ago, but that showed to me that those folks really cared about the human side of things in their public service. And when I went back and thanked them after Christmas, they said, "There's no need to do that. We're doing our job, sir."
All right. 790 770-2040, our Buckmaster Show live line. We're going to take our break, I think, right here. Rose on the other side of the glass, of course, our ace producer, ready to take your calls at 790-2040. We'll be right back with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview with Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor. We've got pretty much a full board of callers, but before we go to the callers, there's some news, good news, I think, about the Pima Animal Control Center. Some money will be coming to that center. What's the latest on that, Richard Elias?
Well, we have an item on our agenda for Tuesday's meeting that'll give us about another $500,000 to create an emergency set of kennels. To help house some of the animals that we have there at Animal Care. We have a huge glut of animals right now, and unfortunately, in most, a lot of the kennels, there's 2 to 3 animals. That's not a sustainable, good situation. Our volunteers are very concerned about it. So in response to that, we want to put together an emergency kennel that would be made of a tent and a cement slab and typical fenced-in kennels. So that animals have a better chance to survive. We have been keeping them longer, and that has really increased our live release rate.
Which has gone up to?
It was about 49%, and now we're at 72%. So we're doing a good job of getting animals adopted, and our employees are very, very dedicated out there. But we need folks to do a better job on spay and neuter. Mm-hmm. And towards that end, Mr. Huckleberry's asked all the jurisdictions to commit to adding $3 to their licensing fees, which would be spent directly on spay and neuter. Again, a very important move to make. Oro Valley just sent us a letter this week saying that they are absolutely going to do that. We have not heard back from the other jurisdictions completely yet, although those conversations are ongoing. So a lot of things in motion there at Animal Care, but with really the idea of trying to give animals a better chance at being adopted, and we're finding some success in that. So we're going to keep moving in that direction, but a temporary situation, but one that could last a while, because the bond election's not going to be probably until 2015. If that happens, then you're looking at construction for the item that would be out there for the voter approval for Animal Care for $22 million at that point.
All right. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. And joining me in studio, if you're just joining us, Mark Evans is here from Inside Tucson Business, and Sarah Garrett-Gasson as well from the Arizona Daily Star. Josh, you are up first on the live line. Go ahead, Josh.
Hello, all you guys. Just kind of want to offer a critique, half question.
Mm-hmm.
Bill started off mentioning that we're good news, now the 8th poorest in the nation.
Right.
And we spent the time with minutia about Allie Miller. I want to talk about jobs, the roads, the tough questions that matter to everybody. And it's Maricopa County's just killing us in job creation. So the big questions, what are we doing for jobs? What are we doing to fix the roads?
Okay. Let's let Supervisor Elias as far as jobs and roads.
Well, we have dedicated twice now in the last 2 fiscal years of general fund dollars to improving our road system and making sure our roads get done better. The RTA and the bond dollars that we have out there have been at work right now, and we've seen significant intersection improvements and arterial improvements throughout the county. So that situation is starting to work through. We still are getting no help from the state legislature in terms of HERF dollars that should be making down here to our community. But we're going to continue working on that in a positive way. On the job scene, we continue to work at attracting folks into our community. Professional soccer coming to our community is helping to add new dollars to our community that potentially we lost from losing baseball here in the area. That's being replaced with the new kind of dollars that are coming in. We have 9 teams coming in for spring training. That's a lot of hotel rooms and a lot of meals being served in our community. A lot of things are taking place downtown as well that is creating economic development down there and bringing people out and helping people to realize that downtown is a happy, healthy place to come and spend some dollars and enjoy yourself. So,
okay, thank you, Richard. Christopher, you are up next on the Buckmaster Show with Richard Elias. Go ahead, Christopher.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yes. First, I have a question for Mr. Elias and then a comment to the editor of the Star. My first question is, do you support, Mr. Elias, a 25-cent gas tax per gallon that I know Huckleberry has advocated? Yes or no? Do you support that?
I do support that particular proposal made by Mr. Huckleberry. The gas tax here in the state of Arizona has not been increased or reviewed with any degree of rigor since 1991. It's time for that to change. A lot of growth has taken place in our community since then. And frankly, it's time to relook at that because we are in a situation where we need to have some more revenue to bring up all the roads and improve all the roads here in the state of Arizona, not just locally.
Okay, and you had a comment, Christopher, a question for Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star. Christopher, are you still there? No, we lost Christopher.
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, Christopher, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Sarah, go ahead. You're with Sarah.
Earlier you had asked Mr. Elias about the hostility between, I guess, the private sector and the elected officials. That's the point right there. You have an elected official right before you advocating a 25-cent tax in this community. Let's be honest, the community's dying on the vine. And his answer to the job creation from the caller of Josh, it was an answer of no substance. If we think soccer is going to be the initiative that's going to get this community out of the state that it's in, it's a joke. We need more Raytheons. We need more IBMs. We need more Intuits. We need more Ventana Medical. And that's the problem that I think from the private sector employee that we have towards the elected officials. There's very little private sector business acumen. They're going to get.
I'm sorry, we lost Richard there.
Christopher.
Christopher.
Christopher. My what I was hoping to say, and maybe I didn't convey it. I was speaking more specifically about just sort of the general atmosphere, and I guess of course that would extend to if you're inclined to feel that way and you work for a private enterprise. Your thoughts on public officials, but I was speaking more generally just sort of about a political atmosphere.
Okay. Dave, go ahead, Richard Elias.
I would just add, Christopher, that my comments about soccer are only one facet of what we're doing to improve things here in Pima County and in Tucson. An interesting facet because it is new dollars into the community. Recruitment of big employers and helping to keep Raytheon here and keep Raytheon healthy obviously are important to all of us. I support you on those items too. But we also have to be real about the revenue side of the equation. And improving our roads is an important pathway to improving our business climate.
David is up next with us. David on the live line. Go ahead, David.
Yes. My comment is, the city is dying. It's economically stagnating. You have booming developments going out, Marana, Sarita, Oral Valley, places like that. This is what's siphoning off the vitality of the city and destroying our Sonoran Desert. I'm very strong on saving our Sonoran Desert. That's what brings the tourists here. People come here to see our Sonoran Desert. And I drove up to Dove Mountain the other day just to look around, and I went past the Ritz-Carlton on that Dove Mountain Boulevard, and just to the west of there, it's just appalled at how these developers are destroying the desert. They're just ripping out the swirls. That was one of the most thickest swirl stands in the Tucson Basin up there, and they're just ripping them out.
Quickly running out of time here, David.
And I just wanted to bring that out. It's just awful.
Okay.
Because that's what's hurting our tourism, because people come here to see the Sonoran Desert, and Marana's just doing the green light to bother the developers to destroy it.
Thank you, David. Go ahead, Richard Lias.
Yeah, David, I agree with you, and I think one of the best things we can do to help with economic development is to continue our conservation efforts. And the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, we need to adhere to it, but we need the jurisdictions, as you point out, like Marana in particular, to go along and work to save this precious place that we live, because, like you said, tourism dollars, about $18 billion of our economy, very important money.
Mark, do you have a quick question?
Yeah, on the economic development, and related to both these last two calls, you've been less than warm about the possibility of Interstate 11 going through Avra Valley, mostly for environmental concerns. But the business community is pretty much behind Interstate 11 because of the potential for the logistics business that could come into Tucson and related to it and developing that Canamex corridor. So is your opinion of Interstate 11 still on the negative side, or is your position evolving on that?
I have not seen a route that really would serve us very well, in my estimation, Dave. I'm willing to look at them. I'm willing to be open to that. But I think we need to be, again, not cutting our nose to spite our face. Like the last caller said, we do need to protect this place we live. And all the routes that I've seen are pretty devastating to very important biological areas, wildlife corridors, riparian areas that we have here. That's a serious part of our economy, too, that we need to protect. Again, the other thing I think is the issue of technology. And I think rail is going to become more and more important to people as opposed to automobile traffic. And that also has to do with how we move commercial goods across this country as well.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up right there. Richard Elias, thank you very much for coming in today, and I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be on Buckmaster.
Thanks a lot. We'll be back with our Reporters Roundtable right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Three people were wounded, including a TSA employee, when a man armed with a semi-automatic rifle opened fire today at Los Angeles Airport. A police official says a gunman was apparently injured in an exchange of gunfire, although it's not clear what his condition is. A hospital says it's treating three male victims from the shootings, one in critical condition, two listed as fair. One traveler says he heard about a dozen gunshots from inside a security gate at LAX. Air traffic controllers saw passengers spilling onto the terminal, from the terminal onto the tarmac, getting out as fast as they could. According to one controller, officers eventually corralled them. And thousands of flyers have been delayed because of today's incident at LAX. Wall Street, the Dow up 59, the NASDAQ down 3 points. More details at srnnews.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Stop by the Rug Gallery showroom and see one-of-a-kind new and antique quality rugs during the 26th anniversary sale now underway. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-2000.
1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small, mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this first day of November. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable, where we invite local journalists to join me to talk about the week's top stories. And we also ask our listeners if they would like to join in. They can do so as well by calling 790-2040. Mark Evans is here, editor of Inside Tucson Business, and Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And again, if you have a question or comment, 790-2040. Sarah and Mark, interesting new poll suggesting that Arizona voters are fed up with the antics of their current congressional representatives. Boy, I think you could see this one coming. This should not be good news for those running. I guess it should be actually taken as good news, Mark, for those who are running against the incumbents for Congress, Ron Barber and Ann Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, maybe. As Mr. Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local. And there has been, the Congress has had single-digit approval ratings for a decade now, or right around 10%. And yet 90% of all congressional incumbents get returned. So the people in polls say they hate the Congress, but they tend to love their congressperson because they return them every year. And with redistricting, creating all these safe districts from where you've got 75% of almost every district in the House is safe for a particular political party, those kinds of polls don't really mean much unless you're getting into something where there's extreme discontent with one particular party, and then you get those wave elections. So we had a wave election in 2006 when people were fed up with the Republican control and Democrats took back control of the House and the Senate. And then you had a subsequent wave election in 2010 where the Republicans took back the House and almost took back the Senate if they hadn't had a couple of kooks running in Nevada and Virginia, they might have actually taken control of the Senate as well. So I take those polls as more something that's a dissatisfaction with the overall condition of the federal government. I don't know that it can be translated into an individual race once you start getting into the individual issues. What's the candidate's position on abortion, taxation, the deficit, on all those types of issues, and then people start picking and choosing the candidates that are most like them.
Yeah, about 55% statewide said they would be inclined, Sarah, to go with a new candidate in Congress in the particular districts, and that mirrored, that 55% mirrored Pima, pretty close to Pima, about 51%.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, the election's still a ways away.
Right. We're talking a year almost. Yeah. And the other thing is that I think people tend to sometimes think, oh, I'm sick and tired of these yahoos up in Congress and I'm going to get rid of them. But then new isn't necessarily better. We have a lot of new and this is one of the things that has kind of stymied things in the House. We do have a number of people who are new to the political process, who are new in their first terms or second terms, who have a definite different idea of how things should be run. And that is exactly what some people want, but it does come at a price of changing things and not necessarily for the better. So I would just caution that, you know, new is not necessarily better. One other thing to point out is that and locally with Ron Barber, U.S. Representatives Ron Barber and Ann Kirkpatrick and Kyrsten Sinema, they are, I think, in an interesting position because they're Democrats in Arizona and their districts are fairly even. So it's something that Ron Barber in particular has really angered people in the Democratic base with some of his votes recently. And he's and so these three who have to kind of operate in the middle, more bipartisan, the test, I think, will be politically if they can mobilize their Democratic base while still reaching across the aisle and trying to get things done in that way.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Matt, I believe, is with us. Matt, go ahead. You're with Sarah and Mark.
Yeah, just a quick plug for the World War II Memorial. They dedicated it this morning. I actually tried to go, but I had trouble finding parking.
Oh, that's great news. There was a pretty good turnout then.
It looked like a pretty good turnout. I drove, you know, right by it, and unfortunately, I forgot to get my quarters. So.
Matt, what's the location of the World War II Armory Park?
221
at Armory Park,
South 6th Avenue.
Good.
Real quickly, Sarah and Mark, I was hoping that you could maybe comment on, given our communities, obvious lower income and also reliance on community support. I think we're going to be most heavily hit quickly by the SNAP program cuts. Are you guys talking to the Community Food Bank and to business about what effect it's going to have on Tucson and Southern Arizona? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the SNAP cuts, that's the more commonly known as food stamps. Its official name is Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Its cuts are happening as of today. And while it might sound like not a lot of money, you know, if you are someone who's working and has a fairly decent job, just as an example, for a household, if you're a household of one, you get the maximum of $200 a month. That's the old amount. That's going to be cut by $11 to $189 per month, and most people do end up getting less. So it's $11, which may not sound like a lot, but that is a substantial portion of that amount that goes to feed families, feed kids, feed people who a lot of folks on SNAP are working, and they're the working poor, and this will have a big effect on our friends and neighbors in Tucson. And I just want to say about the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, they're always, every time I talk to them, they're talking about how the need goes up, and Tucson is a very generous community, but there is always a need. So please think of folks and make a donation to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona.
There needs to be some context with these cuts because they're being portrayed as this was been the benefit for a long time, and now the Congress has cut it back. But this was actually the sunset or the ending of some stimulus that was done at the beginning of the recession as part of the stimulus funding that increased these benefits. So now the benefits are actually falling back to their levels that they were in the early 2000s. Now, granted, there's been changes with inflation and the Consumer Price Index and the like. As a business publication, what we're doing is keeping an eye on it in terms of whether it's going to have any kind of ripple effect within the retail food industry, which is where this money gets spent, and whether we see any kind of downturn in terms of their numbers. So mostly what we'll be looking at at is the since this is going into effect kind of in the middle of the fourth quarter, we'll be looking at those fourth quarter numbers and seeing what effect it had, if any, on the real estate or the retail food industry.
You know, I want to get back to this poverty thing that we keep hearing about, and Tucson being sixth, now number eight. I've been in this community for 25 years, and I'm not saying this justifies making any of this right, but we have been in that top 10, it seems like, forever in this poverty. You know, it's a poor community, and this new emphasis, people seem to feel like, Mark, it's something new.
Yeah, I mean, Tucson has had, it does not have a very diversified economy. There are three major employers, which is Raytheon in the aerospace industry and the U of A mm-hmm. and government. Mm-hmm. The other major employer is the service sector. And the service sector is low wages. It is, $20,000 a year jobs if you can get full time. It's mostly part time. And there was also the construction industry. And since the recession, since the bubble popped, some of those construction jobs are very well high paying jobs or good paying jobs. And there haven't been as many because we haven't been building as many homes, as many shopping centers. We're seeing an increase in construction with some of the stuff going on downtown, multiple towers being built and the like. If we can diversify the economy, especially if we can develop this logistics, Tucson as a logistics hub, mm-hmm. with these improvements in the Canamex corridor and take advantage of the developments down in Mexico and the Guaymas port, and the really interesting things going on downtown, where you're seeing downtown become an entrepreneurial hub with Startup Tucson and a bunch of other groups going down there with mostly tech sector ideas and new businesses. And we could see over the long term a growth and the diversification in the Tucson economy, where we can become, if not a rival to Phoenix, similar to Phoenix, where we see a lot of job growth. You know, Arizona right now is one of the leading states in terms of job growth, but almost all that job growth is happening in Maricopa County.
And I think also we can't emphasize enough that Tucson is a service-based economy in a lot of ways. And that is so dependent on tourism, things that are largely out of our control, because it's relying on other people spending money in our community, and if they don't come, then there's a ripple effect throughout the whole valley. I do want to say that I think that the emphasis on poverty, while it's not good that we're on a list like this or that we have mm-hmm. been for quite some time, mm-hmm. I think it's encouraging that people are really taking a hard look at this and they're talking
That's
about
true.
It. And yeah. I think it may have gotten to the point where it's not just sort of passively
accepted. Yes.
It's
I
not
agree.
Just the way
yeah,
it
that
is.
That's
and I think it's a great conversation to have.
Yeah, it is. Rick Grinnell is with us, a longtime advocate of Tucson, former political candidate in the city, and he has a comment for Mark Evans. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, Mark, in listening to you identify some of the major economic engines here, and you are correct, but I think we're missing a very important part of this discussion, and that's the mining and the engineering jobs, the fabrication companies, and the companies that do environmental research and substantiate a lot of the sciences that are being produced out here in southern Arizona that not only are locally, and we have, I would venture to guess, between mining and engineering and these other companies, 5,000 to 7,000 people employed right here in southern Arizona. But more important, these are also wealth-generating companies that export their intellectual capital around the world, which brings some of this tourism, which brings some of this other new dollars to southern Arizona that we've been remiss in identifying for years.
Okay.
And I think it would be key if we would have a better understanding so that we could even expand further the opportunities, because we do have a heavy government sector here. And without a stronger private sector throughout all various industries, we are going to lose the ability to be able to afford a lot of these charities that we all of us contribute to somehow. And we need to expand that private sector even more so and not get locked in on one or two different particular types of industries.
Okay, thank you, Rick, for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. I think if the Rosemont mine gets built, there'll be some jobs there. There's a company that's poking around out at the Magma Copper Mine and maybe getting the Magma Copper Mine back running in some way. There's a small copper mine that's going on the backside of the Catalinas. There's a silver mine operation that looks like it wants to get started down around Nogales. And the way they mine these days, they're not as labor intensive as they used to be, but it is a lot of money, and there is trickle down jobs that then come from that because of all. I went to an event that Rick Grinnell sponsored through the Arizona Mining Alliance just the other month, last month, and there were, I don't know, 150, 200 people there, most of them of small companies that are subcontractors to these large mining firms. Where they provide the services that these mines need, and that's a lot of jobs. It's a lot of blue collar jobs, but it's a lot of high paying jobs.
Sheldon is next. Sheldon, I'm out of time right now. What was your comment, real quickly, Sheldon?
Allie, I attended a luncheon. She presented all her concerns at a political luncheon the other day. She's terrific. She's a great political watchdog. For all of us, actually.
Who is that you attended?
Allie.
Oh,
Miller.
For Allie. And who will be on the program, by the way, here November the 14th for a half hour with Allie Miller. Sheldon, I am going to have to run. I'm sorry to cut you short. Thank you so much, Sarah and Mark Evans. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
I hope you both have a
great Happy All Saints Day.
Yeah, hope you have a great weekend. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch.
Looking for a family-friendly outing? Gather up the kids and head to the Desert Museum for the Beth Nielsen Chapman Concert on November 16th.
The greatest journey you'll ever fly.
After the concert, enjoy Mighty Sky Night when the museum stays open till 10 p.m. for astronomy-inspired activities and nocturnal animal presentations. Chapman is an internationally acclaimed singer-songwriter. Songs from her Parents' Choice award-winning album, The Mighty Sky, use melodies and lyrics to highlight the wonders of the solar system.
Listen up, children, got a story to tell. There's music out in space ringing clear as a bell.
Chapman will also perform her biggest hits, like This Kiss and Happy Girl, made famous by Faith Hill and Martina McBride. Tickets for this musical adventure are only $10 for children and $20 for adults for the 3 p.m. matinee performance. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to desertmuseum.org and click on the Mighty Sky icon.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Immerse yourself in the wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Biosphere 2 at a 36% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass will be available for a limited time and is brought to you in partnership with UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit these science wonders today with the new UA SciPass.
Okay, I am ready for the weekend, and when I hear that music, I know I'm ready because it officially is the weekend on the Buckmaster Show Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just three and a half hours east of Tucson. To a completely different environment, about a mile high elevation. It's a beautiful environment right at the edge of the Gila National Wilderness. Great places to stay, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Little Toad Creek Inn, and Silver City KOA. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, and a guy who probably doesn't want to see another Philly cheesesteak for the rest of his life. He spent the week in Philadelphia, and every time I saw you posting on Facebook, you and your lovely wife were outside another cheesesteak place.
You know, some of the airlines are starting to charge more for bags that weigh 50 pounds or more, you know, and now I sit down on the seat on my airplane to come back home, and I don't know what all the extra charges are for, Bill.
Well, I understand you actually had to buy an extra seat.
Yeah, you know, we're out in Philadelphia. Pat's and Gino's are the two iconic cheesesteak places in town, and you know, people were asking me, which one did you decide to go to? And I said, boy, you know, why should I have to decide which one to go to? We did both, and we didn't stop.
Well, it's a great weekend for food this weekend in Tucson, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, one of the best events of the year that we look forward to is the Firefighters Chili Cook-Off, which is today, and it runs all the way up till 10 o'clock tonight at the El Presidio Park downtown. More than 30 chilies to sample, each for only $2. Now, I had the opportunity to judge this event a few years ago, and I can honestly say, Bill, that this is some of the best chili in the world, and there's no better way to kick off the weekend than at this event. How do you make the best chili? Ask a firefighter today and tonight at El Presidio Park.
And something tells me you've already got the hunger pains. They're coming back for you. A big event, of course, today is All Saints Day, and that means tomorrow we'll herald in All Souls Day.
Yeah, it's the way that we celebrate and honor the dead here in Southern Arizona. The All Souls procession begins this weekend all over downtown. It starts tomorrow afternoon, and then the big parade follows on Sunday night, where some of the most creative candy skulls and tattoos and masks are going to be found. And to celebrate their opening later this month at the corner of Congress and 4th Avenue, Geo Taco is going to be hosting a job fair against the backdrop of the procession on Saturday and Sunday from noon to 3. They're going to be handing out samples of their house taco with coffee-rubbed pork belly, seared squash, pickled peppers, and pumpkin seed salsa. That's my kind of taco this weekend.
I think you have judged taco contests in the past, have you not?
Yes, all over this great land, and I tell you, this is the capital of tacos right here in Tucson.
An in-demand judge for tacos, certainly, Matt Russell. Grand opening World of Beer.
Yeah, sticking with our downtown theme on Weekend Watch today, let's celebrate the opening of World of Beer this weekend on Congress Street. More than 500 craft beers by the bottle, 50 of them on tap, live entertainment, and a great menu of bar food staples. 500 beers, Bill, where does one begin?
Well, sample a little bit of each, I guess. You've done that before at the tequila tasting contest.
Indeed.
Have a great weekend. We'll look for the column in Inside Tucson Business. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers to you, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by our friends at Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Coming up this afternoon, John C. Scott. His two-hour program begins at 3 o'clock this afternoon on KVOI, The Voice. Then, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe on Monday morning. And, of course, you don't have to wait till Monday morning. Expert talk all day Saturday, beginning with our friend Phil Cedar with his gardening program. That starts bright and early here on KVOI tomorrow at 7 a.m. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, the lovely and talented, we call her the Ace. She is the best radio producer a talk show host could ever dream of. Her name is Rosemary Brandt. Rose, thank you for everything you do. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.